You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And we move to matters offshore. Stats SA has recently put out some data that suggests that more and more individuals are coming back into the country having worked outside of the country, and in doing so are facing a unique problem that they have to bring back some of their wealth that they may have accumulated abroad. And in doing so, it looks as though there is a bit of a problem around reporting that, around handling that, and around the different structures that are in place for that. Joined on the line by wealth advisor at PSG Wealth, Elke Brink, to take a look at this and better understand it. Good evening, Elke. Lovely to chat to you. International conversations are always a weird one because there's always so much that's involved there. There's always different countries' legislations and different things that you put in place from a country's perspective to make sure that you are compliant and that you abide by these sorts of things. But when it comes to kind of coming back into South Africa, that's a completely different ball game. Where do we even start?
Good evening, Jimmy. Thank you for having me. Lovely to be here. Yeah, well, I love the start of your conversation. It's really wonderful to hear that South Africans are returning. I think that's always something positive, and I think it will always be home. So that's good to hear. I think navigating the offshore space becomes extremely important, and I think we are moving into a time in the world where most of us will be worldwide citizens in a way. You'll never just have a portfolio just in South Africa or maybe just where you used to live now. So I think just optimizing everything and having the best of all the different worlds, you don't necessarily have to bring the wealth back, but making sure you're using the right vehicles, even if you're staying on that side, is important. And I think navigating the offshore space well is something that you should do with guidance and something that you should do right from the start, in terms of different jurisdictions have different rules and different risks that you need to be aware of in terms of taxation. Mm. So in principle, for example, in the US or the UK, any type of holding you have there of an investment, you would be prone to certain inheritance taxes. You have different rules on probate and situs taxes. And I think many investors are not always aware of it, that even when navigating in tax havens, you still have the risk of probate and situs implications. So using an optimal vehicle, and that can be different things like an offshore trust or something like an endowment or a sinking fund, becomes quite important. So the wrapper or the appropriate vehicle protects you. And I think it's always important to define what the asset is. Is it an investment we're speaking about? Is it a property? As the different decisions will mean different things. But in principle, it's important to understand the rules and know that you're protecting yourself in terms of that. I think in terms of specifically navigating to offshore trusts, that's something I would consider very well and do a proper analysis with the help of a wealth advisor and with the help of a tax advisor. In principle, if it's, for example, just pure cash, if I can refer to it like that, or equities that you're investing, it's not necessarily needed to start a trust in terms of costing. And I think with a trust, and that applies both local and offshore, it's always important to keep in mind that you are technically stepping away from your assets. You are not the owner anymore. So trustees become the new owner, and there are different role players in terms of decision making and the rules of this trust going forward. So yes, there's definitely a place for it. And I think a trust can play a very valuable role with certain type of fixed assets, with minor children, with certain, depending on what the goal of the trust is. Mm. If it's just to have an offshore portfolio, I sometimes think it can be quite valuable structuring something like a sinking fund, where you can still have the benefit of transferring wealth. So basically the main benefit of this vehicle to me is that you can nominate beneficiaries. So you can make sure that this investment doesn't have to come back to South Africa, and you can transfer wealth to different generations, and it's more cost efficient. But there are also a few different tax benefits to this product.
So when we look at these sorts of products, Elke, obviously, as you said, the most important thing is to sit down with your wealth advisor, your tax advisor, your financial planner, all of the individuals that know about these products and know how to structure the products. Would you say that from an offshore perspective, these products are easily accessible to South Africans that are abroad? I mean, understanding, of course, that if I'm working abroad for a certain period of time, I don't really know I don't always know when I'm going to come back into South Africa. And so setting these things up, as you said, setting it up from the beginning is always the first prize. But if I happen to be abroad, I happen to currently want to look to come back, how do I set it up? How do I have the conversations, understanding that there might already be wealth that has accumulated abroad that I want to bring back or not want to bring back? How do you navigate those conversations? Because obviously SARS doesn't really care. They just want their pound of flesh and their share of whatever it is you've earned. But how do you navigate the conversations if you're already abroad?
Yeah, I think that's important to do a combination, especially when you start combining different countries. If you start combining the offshore space, whatever that country might be, which would look different for different countries, and combining that with South Africa, there you want to now be quite wary that you're not not giving SARS what they want, because otherwise they're going to come look for it. So I think there it becomes quite important sitting with both a wealth advisor and a tax advisor, implementing the right structures, but doing them correctly so that I'm a firm believer in not building complicated structures if it's not really needed, and not wasting money on structures if it's not suitable for your needs. But I think doing this in principle, because if you start changing or transferring wealth, depending on what the form of it is, it might have different tax implications just to get it into the right vehicle. So if you are, for example, in equities already, you're going to have to sell the equities to get it into a different type of vehicle. You can't always do a unit transfer, for example. So there I would do a full analysis in terms of what exactly is the need and what does the picture look like going forward. I think a lot of individuals don't always know, like you say, they don't know if they're going to come back, or they do come back and they decide, okay, they don't want to raise their children in South Africa or the other way around. So putting vehicles in place that plans your next 20 years. And I think defining what planning do you need local in South Africa and what planning do you need on that side. So in many cases, you would, for example, need more than one will. You need an offshore will addressing the assets that's on that side. So there, typically, we would sometimes work with offshore advisors and offshore fiduciary or tax specialists. You would technically have a global team looking at your portfolio. So I think it's important to address these things sooner rather than later.
That's such an interesting point. An offshore will, a whole separate will to what you have in South Africa. Elke, before I let you go, I want to take a look at the offshore kind of environment. Is it okay to leave some of your assets offshore even when you return to South Africa? Understanding, of course, that you might have plans to perhaps in the future travel outside of South Africa, or you want to leave some of those assets outside of South Africa. Having the conversation with your financial advisor is so important, but is it okay to then, after you've had that conversation, say, you know what, for some of these assets, it might be beneficial to leave them offshore? I mean, nobody wants to wind up a property portfolio just because they're moving to a different country now.
Yeah, I would definitely leave it there. I think if you've had the benefit of building an offshore portfolio, now you have the benefit of keeping it. And I think there's always diversification benefits to that. And I think it depending if it's property or different equities. But the moment you're working in a different currency, you have access to different portfolio managers, different type of stocks we can invest in. So there's a whole different world you gain access to. So I think you can really create the best of all the worlds by combining these portfolios. I would not bring it back.
Well, certainly a lot to think about, a lot to ponder on. But most importantly, as Elke mentioned, speak to a wealth advisor, speak to a financial planner, speak to a tax advisor. Don't say Jimmy Moyaha gave you advice on the SAFM Market Update show. Elke is an authorized wealth advisor. Reach out to the PSG team, reach out to your financial advisor and get the right information. I think we'll leave the conversation there. Elke, thank you as always for the time and for the insights. Wealth advisor at PSG Wealth, Elke Brink, on the issue related to offshore trusts and repatriating some of your offshore wealth.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.